On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Welcome back to our weekly series on inequality in the Baltimore region, The Lines Between Us. Ever since George Zimmerman was acquitted in the Trayvon Martin murder manslaughter trial last Saturday, protesters have drawn attention to the vulnerability of young black men, the idea that their lives may be literally in danger around fearful police and armed white citizens who see them as threats before they see them as people. Trayvon Martin was 17 when George Zimmerman shot and killed him, a juvenile. Many of Martin's black peers are no threat at all right now because they're locked up. Racial disparities in contact with the juvenile justice system have been so stark for so long that since 1992, the federal government has had the right to withhold juvenile justice funds from states which fail to pursue strategies to reduce those disparities. In a few minutes, we'll talk to two people who lead efforts to reduce what's called disproportionate minority contact, or DMC, in Baltimore. First, senior producer Lawrence Lanahan visited some of the people trying to make a change.
I'm at the Youth Opportunity Community Center in West Baltimore. A 15-year-old boy named Arnold Smith is showing me around.
The fitness room, right here. And the studio, over here.
He's wearing a crisp yellow polo shirt, buttoned to the very top of his slender frame.
The game room right here. Okay.
Arnold is here every afternoon and evening during the week.
We'll go straight to the game room, have fun. After that, we might go outside, play basketball, and enjoy ourselves. I recommend this. Because anything can happen out there right now, especially if it's getting hot. Every time I come here, I feel safer here.
He's here because he has to be.
Can you tell me what charge you ended up in trouble on?
Stolen vehicle.
Oh, a car?
Yes.
Arnold is in a program called the Pre-Adjudication Coordination and Transition Center, the PACT Center. He's on electronic monitoring when he's at home in school. The hours he spends at the PACT Center are the same hours that juvenile crime spikes in Baltimore. The PACT Center wants Arnold to show up at his adjudication date, and they want to keep him from reoffending, but without locking him up with juveniles whose charges are so serious that they were deemed ineligible for release. There are racial disparities in which juvenile offenders get locked up and which don't. Same for getting arrested in the first place. In Baltimore City, 91% of juveniles busted for pot possession are black, even though just over 3/4 of the city's juveniles are black. It's called DMC, Disproportionate Minority Contact with the Juvenile Justice System. James Bell is the founder of the Burns Institute for Juvenile Justice Fairness and Equity.
We have worked in over 90 jurisdictions, and when we look at our local data, it is not blacks and browns committing more offenses. That is not what accounts for the overrepresentation.
Lisa Gary from the Maryland Department of Juvenile Services says it's decision-making at law enforcement, judicial, and other institutions that adds up to these disparities.
For example, a child may be arrested for a particular offense, a white youth, and is released to parents or guardians or placed in a diversion program. A youth of color, particularly black males, are arrested for the same offense and they are referred to DJS for detention.
Federal law is helping states try to reverse these racial disparities. When Congress reauthorized the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Protection Act in 1992, it added a provision saying the federal government could withhold juvenile justice funds from states if they didn't actively try to reduce disproportionate minority contact.
Maryland, like all states, have to submit annual disproportionate minority contact plans.
Andrea Coleman is the person at the Federal Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Protection who works with states on DMC.
There's a formula called the Relative Rate Index, or the RRI.
A rate of 1 means there's no more contact with the system for any racial minority than there is for whites. In Maryland, the index for juvenile arrests was 2.14 last year. For cases resulting in confinement in secure correctional facilities, it was 4.58. It's a hard number to crack, even 21 years after Congress first addressed it. Coleman says nationally, DMC hasn't budged much. And for Maryland?
It hasn't budged in Maryland at all. And in some jurisdictions, it's actually gotten a bit worse.
There are disparities in all parts of Maryland, rural, urban, and suburban. Each area struggles with disparities in different parts of the system. Linda Coban is Maryland's new DMC coordinator.
In different jurisdictions, it could be arrest, detention, it could be a filing in the adult system. In Baltimore County, where a lot of youth were detained because they didn't appear for court. They have a program where someone actually calls and reminds the people the day before, and that's reduced the number of detentions by, I think, over 50%.
However, no individual program will solve the overall DMC problem, according to Lisa Gary, who preceded Coban as the state's DMC coordinator.
I always tell people DMC is not necessarily a reflection of what kids need. It's a reflection of adult behavior, particularly those who are charged with decision-making for kids at any point of contact in the system.
Gary is the director of system reform projects at the Department of Juvenile Services. It's her job to root out the kind of decision-making that leads to youth of color being treated more punitively.
We are looking at our policies and practices. We're forming a racial impact committee. That committee will make recommendations to the secretary and his executive team in terms of where modifications are necessary.
Maryland measures disparities at 9 different points in the juvenile justice system, from arrests to cases bumped to adult court to detention. It's a lot of data. Lisa Gary says even with all that data, we're not getting the whole story, particularly the relative rate index score that the feds use to measure DMC.
It's not the most effective tool. If you look just numerically over representation in terms of percentages, then you're not going to see a change. Where you will see the change is the number of youth who are prevented from entering the system and going further into the system once entering. So one of the things that OJJDP should consider is additional measures for DMC reduction.
The numbers ultimately aren't the issue, says Sonia Kumar, an attorney with the Maryland branch of the American Civil Liberties Union.
We become so sort of obsessed with the numbers that we're and sort of explaining the disparities that we stop asking, so what can we do about them?
Back at the Pact Center in West Baltimore, 66-year-old Arthur Hartsfield emerges from a back office.
I'm the van driver, the chef, the advocate, the enforcer, you name it.
Sometimes he'll take these kids for a long drive just to see what else is possible outside their neighborhood.
They don't have nowhere to go, no centers to go to, so they go right to the street. They're not being exposed to nothing. We take these kids, like, out to the airport, over to D.C., out to Woodbine, see those $1.5 million homes and stuff, you know, so they can, you know, the mind can be expanded, because right around in here, they don't see nothing.
It's people like Arthur Hartsfield that 15-year-old Arnold Smith is spending his afternoons with these days. Simply talking with people who care about him is one of Arnold's favorite things about the Pact Center program.
We talk about life, the do's and don'ts in life, life period, problems you're going through at home, street problems, anything. Every staff in this program like give you that feeling that you can come to them and talk to them about anything.
Before the DMC effort, someone like Arnold Smith might have been just locked up while waiting for trial. But now, at least on weekday evenings, this black male teenager from Baltimore is seen in terms of his potential for growth rather than his potential for harm.
Maryland Morning Senior Producer Lawrence Lanahan. With me in the studio now is Ernest Dorsey, Assistant Director with the Youth Service Division at the Mayor's Office of Employment Development, which runs the Pact Center that Lawrence visited. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also here is Maceo Holman. He's director of East Baltimore Youth and Family Services, and he runs the Parent and Youth Empowerment Program, PYEP, also designed to reduce disproportionate minority contact. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Maceo, as I understand it, your program focuses on young people who are deemed eligible to go home after their arrest, but are at risk of being locked up anyway because their parents haven't picked them up.
Yes, parents either refuse or are unavailable. To pick the youth up. And we've been asked as a community service provider to reach out to those families, one, try to locate them, and then once we do locate them, try to convince the families to come in and pick the youth up. And we also match that family with necessary resources in the community.
You said refuse or unable. That's a
yes.
Big range to
yes.
me. What's going on in most
right.
of those families?
So a number of cases, youth are arrested in Baltimore City. The police will initially try to make contact. For whatever reason, they're unable to make that contact, or they do make the contact, and the parents will say, we don't want the child. They don't want to come in and pick them up. Not because they're angry. It's because in most cases, we find the families are just frustrated, need assistance, want someone to hear them and listen to their concerns. We're giving those referrals after the police are either unable to contact the parent or the parent has made the initial refusal, we'll reach out to the family. We'll give that listening ear and, again, matching with services. And we've been very successful. 70% of the referrals that we receive from the police and DJS, we're able to get home.
And what was it like before you were there?
Well, before we came on, and we've been in operation now roughly 2.5 years, the return rate for this population was less than 20%.
And now 70%.
And now 70%.
The police make just like kind of like one contact?
Yes, the police will initially try to make contact with the parent.
But it's kind of like one time the parent says no.
Yes, yes.
That's it.
And then that referral is given to DJS. So I should point out that the referrals that we receive are youth that are deemed to be releasable. In other words, someone either on DJS's side, Department of Juvenile Services, or the Baltimore City Police have determined that that young person is safe to go home.
So tell me more about that conversation, that the early contact that you have with that family.
You know, that's an interesting point. That conversation is just that. It's a conversation. And one of the things that we try to express with the staff, and we have a great staff, that you need to listen to these families. You need to hear what the families have to say, because oftentimes, and I know Ernest will speak to this, the families want someone to listen to. They may have a 16-year-old that you're working with, but they have at least 6 years of history in and out of this system, and they want someone that will hear them out. So it's not unusual for us to spend 45 minutes, in some cases as much as 2 hours, talking back and forth to the parent before they will agree to pick the youth up.
Ernest, how does the PACT Center work?
We actually are actually a part of the youth opportunity system in West Baltimore. We actually receive referrals from the Department of Juvenile Services. They actually make recommendations to the judge and masters when a young person goes to court. And that judge and master determines whether or not that young person needs to be detained or can be released with community detention, and in some instances not with community detention, but assigned to the PAC Evening Reporting Center. Our goal is to ensure that they show for court, that they report to court on their appointment date, not reoffend while they're with us. And we make recommendations to the court that we feel that would support that young person after they go to court.
Ernest, tell me the difference between the kids you deal with and the kids that Maceo's Center is working with, or Maceo's people are working with.
Well, I probably, in some cases, the kids that we're dealing with probably have had several different encounters with the juvenile justice system, and probably maybe a flight risk of not returning to court.
Tend to be more serious charges against
kids. Yes, I would think so.
That you're alerted to than the...
Yes.
And that screening, that determination that somebody's eligible for either of your programs. I mean, what are the police looking at? How or DJS? What are they looking at to decide that this is a young person we should put in touch with you?
The screening is done by the Department of Juvenile Services, is my understanding, and there is a risk scale.
Yeah, it's a risk assessment tool used by the Department of Juvenile Services. And for our program, they're really looking at two things. One, will the youth return back to court? Or return to court, and two, if released back to the community, do they present a significant risk of committing another offense?
This is WIPR Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, talking about two programs here in Baltimore trying to reduce racial disparities in contact with the juvenile justice system. I'm with Ernest Dorsey from the PACT Center and Maceo Holman from the Parent and Youth Empowerment Program. Maceo, how does being home benefit these kids?
Well, you know, and I want to point out that that is the key. We believe that the population that we serve are low risk. They shouldn't be held either in shelter or detention, and that they're best served in the community. The vast majority of the young people that we receive are committing misdemeanor offenses, minor offenses, and they should be held responsible. But they also should be given services, and those services we have found over the years are best, made or contacted in the community. When the youth are connected to community-based services, those services really, really do tend to really get the family involved, which is necessary, and also is able to identify the interests and the needs of the young person. So we have found time and time again, if you're talking about mental health services or substance abuse services or educational services, it's best to have those services in the community and not have them behind, locked doors.
Ernest, you're on the city's official DMC committee. What's happening to reduce DMC earlier in the system, to reduce arrests?
Well, I think that the committee has had a number of issues to address. And I think now that they really have a strong in place in terms of some alternative type activities, they're now beginning to look at other numbers and look at strategies to reduce arrests. So I think what the priority was for the DMC committee was to first look at how can we reduce the number of young people that were in detention. And I think that they have been successful in doing that. So then the next, I would believe, strategy is to look at how do we even reduce the number of young people going into the system.
And juvenile arrest in Baltimore City has really dropped over the years. We have really seen a major drop. At one time in the city, we were looking at 13,000 juvenile arrests in the city of Baltimore. Now, that number is well under 8,000. And if you're talking about individual youth, you're talking about no more than around 4,000. So the numbers have really dropped. And one of the things that because I'm also on the DMC committee for Baltimore City, and we've been working not only with the Baltimore City Police and looking at policing practices and policies, but also the school police. And we've seen a reduction there in the number of arrests and youth coming into the juvenile system through school arrests. And so a number of the things that the schools have done, alternatives to arresting youth, has been very effective in bringing down the number of kids coming in that way. So it's working. And as Ernest pointed out, it's one of the things that the DMC committee has started to look at is to focus just on that very front end, and that is at that point of arrest.
Thank you both. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Maceo Homan directs East Baltimore Youth and Family Services. Ernest Dorsey is Assistant Director of the Youth Service Division at the Mayor's Office of Employment Development. At our website, we have data showing the depth of juvenile justice disparities in our region and across the state, and more information on the PACT Center and the Parent and Youth Empowerment Program. That's at linesbetweenus.org. More of this interview there, too. That's it for The Lines Between Us today, and that's mostly it for our focus on criminal justice, which we started back in May. Our series will wrap up in about 2 months, and during that time, we will turn much of our attention to inequality and schools. What are your thoughts about race, class, and education in the Baltimore region? Please share them with us. Go to linesbetweenus.org and click on the Your Stories link. You can also send an email to lineswypr@gmail.com. That's lineswypr@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail for us to use on air or online at 410-881-3162. Again, 410-881-3162. And please contact us if you or someone in your family was attending a Baltimore public school in 1954. We'd like to talk to you for a segment about how Brown v. Board played out here. Write to lineswypr@gmail.com. On 88.1, I'm Sheila Cast. Up next on Maryland Morning, instant scores to classic music, jazz meets film. In just a few minutes, stick around.